all God's people said,
amen.
Have your Bibles, would you stand with me? Or your electronic devices that you're reading your Bible on? We were encouraged at men's retreat to keep our Bibles close and read out of our Bibles. Not that these electronic devices, I read my Bible off my iPad every morning. That's where I have my devotion. But sometimes it's good just to pull out the book. Can you say amen? And read from the book. Can you say amen? Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12. I preached out of this scripture a few weeks ago or a few months ago, but we're going to look at another aspect of it. A few months ago, we preached Restorer of the Path. Today, we're going to be preaching on Repairer of the Breach. Repairer of the Breach. Have you found Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12? Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you and we magnify your holy and precious name. God, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise because you are good. We thank you for your presence that's here this morning, that's moving in such an awesome way. Lord, I pray we won't be distracted by anything of this past week, of this next week, Lord, even this afternoon, but God, that we will focus on you, that we'll allow your Holy Spirit to minister and do and accomplish in and through our lives what you desire to do. Lord, I need your help in a desperate way this morning, but God, I pray that you'll anoint the hearts and minds of each and every person, and especially those whom this message is for today. Let their hearts be open and their minds receptive and responsive to allow you to do the work that you desire to do. And so we give you the praise and the glory. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Those from among you shall build the old places, old waste places. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. That word repairer means to wall in, to wall around, to close up, to fence up, to hedge, to enclose, to make up, to repair. The repairer of the breach. That word breach means a break, a breaking forth. So many times as we walk this road of life, we can come into contact or deal with things that can have a tremendous effect on our lives. Some for the better, and some that are very hard. They're very difficult, emotionally, mentally, very straining on our emotions, our minds, that can be very overwhelming and very difficult to face or to go through. Some of these times are simply because the twist and turns that life brings our way. How many of you know that life is not fair? Sometimes it rains on the just and the unjust alike. So sometimes these are things are caused simply because of the twists and turns of life that's thrown our way. Sometimes we can find ourselves in the midst of these times by wrong choices, mistakes, or possibly sins on our part. And sometimes these can come about because of actions of others that are out of our control but yet affect us in tremendous and powerful ways. When these times come, when these times of brokenness and discouragement come, it can cause us to feel depressed. It can cause us to feel discouraged. It can cause us to feel alone. It can cause us to feel ashamed. And for whatever reason, the holiday season, possibly because there's so much emphasis on families and coming together, for whatever reason, the holiday season is a time when people seem to be even more depressed, more discouraged, more disillusioned, and many times feel more broken than at any other times. Many times people feel more alone. We may even feel that there is nothing or no one that can help us or fix what we are going through. then there's no way out. It's almost like there's a wall or a structure in our hearts and our lives that we have relied on and we have trusted in and felt secure in for so very long. But somewhere along the line, through all these things we talked about, there it's become that wall, that security, that assurance has become broken down and it's in disrepair. And we're not sure how to fix it. We're not sure if there's anywhere we can go to get it repaired or anyone who can take care or if there's any help, if there's anywhere out or any way up from this. Can you say amen? I just came by to tell you today that the Lord spoke to me to let you know this, that there is one today that you can turn to. There is one who understands what you're going through. There is one today who knows what it's like to feel broken, to have everything shattered in his life with seemingly nowhere to turn. There is one that you can turn to today. The psalmist talks about it in prophetic, talking about the Lord Jesus. Psalm 69, verse 19 says, "You know my reproach, my shame and my dishonor, my adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none." He looked for someone to take pity on him, but there was nobody to take pity on him. He looked for comforters, but he found none. "They also gave me gall for my food and for my thirst. They gave me vinegar to drink." Now, if you know the scriptures at all, you know that this is a prophetic word about the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows what it feels to be broken. He knows what it feels to be all alone. He knows what it feels for everybody to have his back turned on him. Can you say amen? But after Calvary, everything has changed. Can you say amen? But because he took those feelings and through what he went through on Calvary's tree, on the cross, he's experienced everything and so much more than you and I will ever experience. But because he experienced all those things, he knows what we are going through. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses. He sympathizes when we feel broken. He sympathizes when we feel banished. He sympathizes when we feel empty and discouraged and depressed and all alone. He sympathizes with that and he knows how we feel. But he says, "That's when I want you to come, that we can come boldly to the throne room of grace that we may obtain his mercy and find his grace to help." When? Not when everything's going good, but when we are in need, when we are discouraged, when we are depressed, when we feel alone, when we feel that no one cares. That's when he says, "My child, that's when I want you to come to me so I can help you and strengthen you and get you beyond what you're going through." He is the repairer of the breach in our lives. Can you say amen? He knows what you're going through. He knows what it's like to be broken. And he's not only moved when we are broken, but he is moved to the point of action, involvement, and help, and correction. Correction in the fact not of discipline, but correction in the fact of correcting what's going on in our lives. It is Jesus' desire to repair the walls and the holes, to repair the brokenness and restore us and to make us whole again. Can you say amen? He is the repairer of the breach. He desires to repair the breach of the brokenhearted. Isaiah 61 verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound." This same scripture is what Jesus quoted. Isaiah was speaking prophetically of what Jesus would actually begin to accomplish when he came to this earth. And Jesus, when he came out of the wilderness from 40 days of being tempted by the enemy, when he walked into the temple of Capernaum, this is what the scripture that Jesus read on that day, because he was the fulfillment. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the open of prison to those who are bruised. He sent him to heal the brokenhearted. That word heal means to wrap up, to bind up, to give relief, to heal the brokenhearted, to those who feel destroyed, those who feel broken down, those who feel torn, those who feel hurt. Can you say amen? So many things in life can come on us and cause us to have a broken heart and feel broken, to feel mentally and emotionally bankrupt, hopeless, and helpless. We long for help. We long for strength. We long for someone to do something. What we must understand is when we find ourselves in this place, we are in the right condition to be met. We are in the right condition to be mended. We are in the right condition to be blessed by God. You said, Brother Doss, have you lost your mind? I think you must have did something else besides your shoulder. You must have hit your head wrong or something. What do you mean when I'm broken? What do you mean when I'm discouraged? What do you mean when I'm depressed? Well, that is the perfect condition that you need to be in so God can meet you where you're at, can mend what you're going through, and bless you and bring you out of those situations. Can you say amen? How do we know that? The scripture confirms that. The Lord is near, Psalms 34:18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as has a contrite spirit. God draws close to us in our brokenness and saves those who are contrite. That word contrite means a crushed spirit. Many of you remember Charles Littlefield. He used to pastor Faith Christian Center. He passed away a few years ago. Dear, dear friend of mine. I used to love to hear Brother Charles pray. Even though he had that brain tumor and had cancer, if someone called to check on him, he would reverse it so quick, he would be praying for them. He would be asking them about their family, asking them about their needs. But he always said two things. When he prayed, he said, "Oh, Lord, come near." I said, "Well, that's weird." But then I began to understand, no, he's just calling for scripture. Lord, come near. Or if he was in someone's presence, if we were praying for someone close, he would say, "The Lord is near you. The Lord is near you." I want you to understand something. If you're feeling broken, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling all alone, you may be putting a good facade on the outside. But let me tell you, God knows what's going on the inside. And he's close to you this morning. And he not only wants to be close, if you will allow him, he wants to bring healing. He wants to bring help. He wants to bring recovery. He wants to restore. He wants to replenish. He wants to bless you with his love and his mercy and his grace. He wants to repair the brokenness and the breach in your life. Can you say amen? Psalms 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That word heals there means he mends, he heals, he cures, he makes whole the brokenhearted. And I like this phrase. He binds up their wounds. I want to look at wounds. That word wounds means the pain, the hurt, the injury, and the sorrows. When I give you definitions, when I say, well, that word wounds, I'm looking from the original language. So I'm looking from the original Hebrew in the Old Testament and in the original Greek in the New Testament. That's where we get the definitions. We don't always go to Webster's. We're trying to get what the scripture means. He binds up their wounds, the pain, the hurt, the injury, the sorrow. But that word binds is right there in the middle. He heals and then he binds up. That word binds, say that word binds with me. That word binds means he wraps firmly to stop, to rule. He binds up their wounds. Before healing can begin, if someone who has cut their arm open, the first thing you got to do is you got to stop the bleeding. You got to close up the wound. And in order to do that, look out, come on. There's got to be pressure applied. Something either has to be pressed on it or wrapped around it. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up the wound. Well, you can't reach in there. You and I can't reach in there with our hands and put our hands around somebody's heart, somebody's hurt, somebody's pain, somebody's depression, somebody's discouragement. We can't, but God can. And he puts pressure. Now, we don't like negative pressure. We don't like the pressures of life, but God puts the pressure around our hurts. He puts the pressure around our pain. He puts the pressure around our discouragement. He puts the pressure around our depression with his love, with his mercy, with his grace, with his peace, with his power. And he begins to wrap those things and he stops the bleeding. He binds up their wounds. That doesn't mean he just covers them up. It means he stops the pain. He stops the hurt. He stops the sorrow. He stops the grief. Why? You've got to stop the bleeding before you can begin to heal. And then he begins the healing process. Can you say amen? He's a good, good God. He is a repairer of the breach in our hearts and our lives. Can you say amen? Whatever case, Jesus is a repairer of the breach of the broken heart. Y'all with me this morning? He's a repairer of those who have a broken spirit. He desires to repair the breach of the broken spirit, our spirit man, the rational soul which makes us alive and preserves us after the death of the body. Job cried out in Job 17, verse 1, my spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. The grave is ready for me. Because all that he was facing, he felt as if he were broken in his spirit. His spirit man was broken because of all the calamities that had been befallen him. When our spirit is broken, it affects us to the very depths of our soul. It affects us to every part of our life as well. It even can affect our physical outward bodies. Psalms chapter 17, verse 22 says, a merry heart does good like a man of medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit can dry the bones. Nothing has such a direct ability to ruin our health and waste our life source as grief, anxiety, fear, worry, bitterness, or anger, which breaks the spirit. All those things, if left unchecked, will literally crush or break your spirit. Just as the marrow in the bones is depleted, such is our spiritual strength and vitality. When our spirit is broken, we can feel spiritually empty, dry, and alone, discouraged, depressed, hopeless, without any help, without any resource, without any sense that somewhere, somehow this is going to get better. Psalms 18, verse 14 says, the spirit of man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? I like how the Message translation translates this, and I believe they have it up there. Psalms 18, 14 in the Message translation. Listen to this. A healthy spirit conquers adversity, but what can you do when a spirit is crushed? What can you do when your spirit is crushed? What can you do when your spirit is crushed? Whether it comes because of things in life, whether it comes from our own choices or mistakes, bad choices or mistakes, whether it comes because of actions or others, what can we do when our spirit becomes crushed? I like what Psalms 34, 18, what we read a little while ago. The Lord is near to them who have a broken heart and saves such as has a contrite spirit. That word contrite again means a crushed spirit. He saves. I like that word saves there because it means frees, delivers, rescues, preserves. I like this. Gets the victory. Can you say amen? And if he's going to free you, if he's going to rescue you, if he's going to give you the victory through this situation, then there's no way your spirit can stay crushed and still have the victory. He's going to lift your spirit up. Can you say amen? He is going to restore your spirit. Isaiah 57, verse 15 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. You will not despise. He will not despise those things. Can you say amen? Isaiah 50, that was verse 17. Isaiah 51, 57, 15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit to revive, say revive. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones or the crushed ones. He came to revive. That word revive means to give life, to make alive, to repair, to restore, to make whole. He is the repairer of the breach when our spirits are broken. When our hearts are broken and when our spirits are broken. He's a repairer of the breach when there's broken lives. Lives can be broken by difficult circumstances, situations, sickness, sins, failure of the past. And this is one the Holy Spirit just really laid on my heart. Hardships. Hardships. Sometimes there's a word that people key off of. And the Lord really laid that word heavy on my heart yesterday. Hardships. Life can be destroyed because of hardships. Because of hardships. But notice, Jesus, as the repairer of the breach all through his ministry, he saved, he healed, delivered, and repaired the broken lives of so many society had given up on. So many society had thought had gone too far. The demon-possessed man at Gadara, no one could tame him. They tried to put chains on him. Those things wouldn't hold him. The best place he could live was out and among the tombs. Everybody had given up on him, but Jesus took his 12 best men across the storm-tossed sea. He says, I've got to go over there and meet with a guy that's full of demons that everybody has given up on. Why? Because I've got to repair the breach in his life. There's a work I have for him to do. And in order for him to do that, I have to restore his life from brokenness. Can you say amen? The woman with the issue of blood, because of that issue, had been so many years upon her. Her life had been basically destroyed. Her acquaintances had been basically destroyed. Her wealth had been all paid out trying to get healed. But she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And when she touched Jesus, everything was restored. Can you say amen? Because Jesus restores broken lives. The woman that was caught in the act of adultery, Jesus restored her life. He said, woman, where are your accusers? She said, nowhere, my Lord. He said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. The man with a demon-possessed son didn't know where to turn. He even brought to him disciples, and disciples, for whatever reason, couldn't help. But Jesus delivered him, set him free. Restored his life. The woman at the well who had to come out to get water at the heat of the day, who had a terrible reputation. Jesus said, if I can restore her life, I can turn a town upside down. She was the key. She was the key to a whole town being saved. Can you say amen? She who was the outcast of her society, the outcast of her town, the outcast of her village, who felt all alone and broken because of her own choices and mistake. When she came into contact with Jesus, he revealed to himself who he was, and he showed his love and his mercy and his grace and forgiveness and changed her life. And it turned her town upside down. Can you say amen? Feel like your life is destroyed, Jesus is the repair of the breach of broken lives. If he did it for them, he can do it for you as well. Can you say amen? He's a repairer of the breach for broken relationships. Matthew chapter 18, are y'all still with me this morning? Verses 18 and 19. Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth touching anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So many times we use this scripture for coming in agreement in prayer, and it works for that. It does. But if we take that whole section of scripture into context, if we look at the three in the full context and the three verses above it and two verses after It's all about mending broken relationships. Jesus said, if two can come together, both must be willing to work out their differences. Both must be willing to work out their disagreements. Both must be willing to lay aside. Both must be willing to see the relationship restored. Jesus said, if two can come together, both must be willing to work out their differences. He is right there in the middle, helping, healing, leading, guiding, encouraging. But it takes both parties to be willing to work it out. If they are, and if they will ask, look what happens. Verse 19, Jesus said in verse 19, again I say, if two of you shall agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them but my Father in heaven. God says, I will come and I will be the mediator between the two of them, and I will bring healing between those relationships. Can you say amen? He helps restore and repair broken relationships. He helps restore and repair broken relationships in marriages. He helps restore and repair broken relationships in families. He helps restore and repair broken relationships in friendships, acquaintances, in our businesses, on our job, but especially in our churches. Can you say amen? Sometimes when walls have been destroyed, you need a bridge so someone can cross from one side to the other, or somebody can come and meet in the middle. And that bridge is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the repairer of the breach. Can you say amen? But get this and keep this in mind. Both have to be willing. Can you say amen? Both have to be willing to humble themselves. I love Christmas. I love Thanksgiving, and it shows. I love the holiday season. But possibly because there's so much emphasis on families, the times when you see the struggles between relationships and families really shows up. Especially with the dynamics of our society today. And when you feel like there's no hope in those relationships, there's always hope in Jesus. And if you're willing, you need to be praying, God, if you're dealing with my heart, deal with their heart as well. It might be one, it might be two, it might be several. Deal with their heart as well. Because God, it doesn't matter so much who was right and who was wrong. What matters is if the relationship can be restored. See, the Word of God tells us if we hate our brother whom we have seen, how can we say we love our father whom we've not seen? And God can work on that other end, but when those two come together, those group of folks come together, say, Lord, we don't know how to handle this on our own, but God, with your help, where two or three shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done for them. God knows how to work it out. Can you say amen? You say, well, he don't know all the dynamics. I think he does. Because he made us. We are his creation. And when we fail by our own choice, he came up with a way to reconcile man to himself. But it cost him a great deal. It cost him his son to come, to live, to breathe, to teach, to die, and hang on a cross for my sin and your sin, just so that we can be reconciled back to God. He is all about reconciliation, church. He knows how to repair the breach. Even if it took his own son, he can do it in my life, in your life, in the lives of our family as well. That's for somebody today. Come on, somebody. He helps restore and repair broken relationships. He is the bridge and the repairer of the breach. But the most important relationship that he desires to repair and restore is the one who's lost. The one who has never accepted him as Lord and Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. He's the only way that we can be saved. If you're here this morning, you've never given your heart to the Lord, He wants to repair that breach. He's already repaired it. It's all a matter of you accepting it or not. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He wants to work in the life of the one who's lost. The other relationship that He desires to repair and restore is the one who is backslidden, the one who is not where they need to be with Him, whose relationship with Christ has grown cold. We may appear fine on the outside, but He knows what's going on the inside. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God's looking on the heart. You know what your relationship is with God. I know what my relationship is with God. We know when we're walking in right relationship, come on, and we know when it's not quite where it needs to be. But more than anything, He knows when it's not where it needs to be. But He, in His love and His mercy and His grace, is a relentless pursuer. He's not going to give up on you that easy. He wants that relationship restored. He don't want anything to come between you and Him. He said in His first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before Me. You say, well, that's kind of a little hard. No, it's not about Him being hard. If you think that it, you really don't know Him at all. But He wants to pour His love and His mercy and His grace and His blessing out upon you. He wants you to experience the fullness of His purposes and His plans for your life. He wants that relationship. He created you for a purpose. And He wants to walk with you and help you and strengthen you and lead you. But somewhere along the line, other things, or even others have come in the way. And He knows things are not quite where it needs to be with Him. And you know that. But He says, today I want to make things right. I want to repair that breach. See, the Bible says that you may know that you have eternal life. I'm surprised by how many times I talk to people and they say, you know, I don't know if we could ever really know that we're saved. Friends, if I believed that, I wouldn't be standing up here today. Jesus didn't die that we could wonder if we're saved or guess we're saved. Jesus died that we can know that we know that we know that we know that we know that we're saved. Can you say amen? That we can have the assurance of our salvation. And we know when we're walking in right relationship with Him. But if something is in the way, God's not standing there like a big old man with a baseball bat wanting to beat you over the head. He's standing there in His love and His mercy and His grace reaching out to you saying, it's time to come back home. It's time to get back in right relationship with Me. He wants to repair that breach that has come between you and Him. It's just between you and the Lord. He is more than willing, but how about you? 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants that relationship restored. You need that relationship restored. You really want it restored. But we must come just as we are, seeking His mercy and forgiveness. And as we do, we will find His love and His grace. David prayed this, Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from Your presence, and do not take Your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of Your salvation, and uphold me by Your generous spirit. That word renewed means to renew in me a steadfast spirit. It means to rebuild and repair. He is a restorer, a repairer of the breach of broken relationships. Not only His, but as well as others we mentioned. And He'll do it for you. Lydia, if y'all would come. Every head bowed and every eye closed. What about it today? The Lord is here in an awesome and tremendous way. He wants to be a repairer of the breach of the brokenhearted. He wants to be a repairer of the breach of those who are broken in spirit. He wants to be a repairer of the breach of lives that have been shattered and broken. He wants to be a repairer of the breach of those broken relationships. He wants to be a repairer of the breach, especially for those who are lost, or those who somewhere along the line have let other things come in the way, or even others, between our relationship with Him. He's the repairer of the breach. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You may look fine on the outside, but on the inside you feel discouraged, you feel depressed, you feel alone. You might be surrounded by people. But God wants to bring healing. God wants to stop the bleeding. God wants to rebuild the walls of joy and of peace and of strength and of contentment. God wants to build the walls of assurance and tear down the walls of doubt and discouragement the enemy and depression the enemy has brought up. If you're here this morning, no one looking around, said, Brother Doss, I need Him to be the repairer of my breach in my life today, and I want to give it to Him. I want Him to be the repairer and the breach of my life today, whatever it may be, and I want to give it to Him. Would you just slip your hand up and right back down?